Welcome to Mornings with Box 2 Radio, a broadcast that is centered around news and views, Bible Q&A, and special guests. Now get ready, because it's time to scramble those eggs, brew that coffee, and open that Bible, and let's jump into Mornings with Box 2 Radio.
Well, good morning out there in radio land. What a day the Lord has made. This is the day that anything is possible, because we serve a God who will do the impossible every single time. Amen. This is Thursday, April the 20th, 2023, and I am happy to be with you guys this morning on this beautiful, beautiful spring day. I've got in the studio with me Miss Hannah Hayes. How are you doing, Miss Hannah?
I'm doing great.
And we've got none other than Brother Carwile in the house this morning, too. How are you, Brother Greg?
Doing good. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm so glad you come back on another Thursday. He didn't say enough. I'm never coming back. We didn't scare him off last Thursday. And so I'm glad to have you back. And I was talking to him before the broadcast this morning in the room. And Brother Joey did a great job last night teaching. And he talked on Elijah and going to the brook and then going to the widow. And he brought up some stuff about idols. And Brother Greg said they talked about idols too. So he said, maybe the Lord's trying to get us to know something here, tell us something. And I was like, that's probably true. So who knows? We may talk about idols sometimes today. You never know. And so we're just excited to be with you guys. It's an honor, and we're humbled that you join us every single weekday morning from 7 to 9 a.m. Central Time here on the Box 2 Radio Network. Starting your morning with us, trusting us with your ear, and allowing us to speak into your life and you to speak into ours. Because you know what? If you want to interact or engage with the broadcast, you can text me at 270-230-6337. Again, 270-230-6337. Well, before we get any farther, I kind of just want to start out. I know you all prayed in there, but I want to pray again for our listeners here live on the air. Father, we thank you so much for your grace, your mercy, your goodness, and your kindness. Lord, we just ask you for protection around our kiddos today as they go to school and as they learn and they grow. Father, we just ask you for every listener as they embark upon their day, whether that be at work or at home or just hauling the kids around, whatever that looks like, Lord, I ask you, Lord, that they would be on mission, that you would put people in their path, that there would be divine connections, that hurting and broken people would be put before people who have hope and joy and rest, and that they would be contagious, and that they would tell them the source of their joy and strength, and that is Jesus Christ, and Jesus is the answer. And we declare that, Father, that in all the earth, that the broken would know the God of hope, as Romans says, and we thank you for it. We ask you for this broadcast to be edifying, that we may speak life, and that we would speak blessing and be edifying tonight. This morning, in Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen.
All righty. A couple of quick announcements. Don't forget today at 5:30, tonight at, this evening, we'll go with that. This evening at 5:30 at Crosspoint is the worship night, and it's going to be a great time in the presence of the Lord. Brother Greg, do you know much about that? Like, is it like a community worship night? Is that, I think that's what they're doing, like trying to get the whole community involved.
Yeah. Again, I think I established this the last time.
You're not the one to ask about dates.
I don't know. You know, my wife says load up and drive here, and that's what I do. Now they talked about it. We're meeting our youth are going to meet up at Mr. Gaddy's before, and we're going to eat something and go down there, I think. That's all I know.
Scripturally speaking, I'm still a youth.
Yeah.
Because they were youth till they were 40.
Yeah. Well, you're not invited, so.
Oh, my goodness. What exclusiveness in the body of Christ. All right. No.
I'm just teasing.
Well, if James and them are there eating pizza, there may not. He can put a dent in, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Greg said, oh, yeah. We love Brother James here.
Well, they have a good time.
And I can put a dent in some pizza.
Yeah, James, he's amazing with the kids, too. And they all love him. And, you know, one thing that he started at our little church there, it's, the praise team will kind of meet at right before service and pray before service starts. Mm-hmm. You know, well, James has started that with the youth, all the teenagers and all the kids. They go into a room and he gets them all, you know, he gets them all riled up. And then he'll have different ones step out and lead the prayer. And, you know, I just kind of, you know, I've watched it a couple times, and it's good what he's doing with them little ones over there.
We need to teach them how to pray.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And getting them involved and getting them activated in prayer is a big thing.
Yeah.
And so I love that. Love Brother James still. We've talked about this on here, praying for his wife and continue to pray for that family. And God's doing great things and healing and protecting. And we just know that God is walking right through it. Jesus is always healer.
Amen.
Jesus is always provider. And whatever that situation looks like, he's more than enough. I know he is.
He's the other one in the fire.
Yep. Then we've got Man Up next Thursday, 6:30 at Radiant Church. And then we've got Coffee with Jesus, 4 o'clock p.m. at Mount Zion in, which one is it, Hannah?
Westview.
Oh, you got it now.
Westview on the 29th.
It's got it now. 4 o'clock p.m. Miss Megan Sosh has been given the word there, the God who sees me.
It's getting too close. I can't be given the false information.
That's
now.
Right. Yeah, you got it in you now. Right. As many times, we're going to, I figured if we keep asking her every single morning, it'll really get in her by the, by sooner or later, it's going to get in her. All right. And so we're just excited for all that's coming up. We're excited for the body of Christ coming together. I love that a lot of the things that we announce are stuff that the body of Christ is doing together. Like, it's churches coming together. And it's not just exclusive to one church or anything. We do have some announcements that I will make after the break because I forgot my little sheet. There's a healing, or is it a prophetic or a healing conference, Hannah?
Yes, so it's actually, they called it a healing conference, but it has a lot of different it has prophetic, it has impartation, it has a bunch of different subcategories in the conference.
Yeah. I think it's, I don't want to tell you the wrong dates. I got it written down, but we will, I'll announce that after the break. I'll give
I
that
I think,
a
if I'm remembering correctly, it's the 12th and the 13th, May 12th.
It sounds right.
Because I helped write some of it down, but I can go get it.
I'm like Greg. If I have it in my head and said it every morning, I could say it, but I only wrote it down once, so...
then you're not like me because I rarely have it in my head. You know, unless it's unless it's scripture or something like that, I can't, like my kids' birthdays, I know what days they are. I just don't know what day it is.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, I get in trouble a lot for that. So,
you know, that's been one of the trickiest things of adopting the four kids is I'm trying to learn all their birthdays and their social security numbers, and people ask me, okay, so what's the birthday? I don't know. I've got 7 kids. Let me look. I have to have my list out here and make sure I got it. And so it is.
Yeah, I'm bad with names as well.
Do you ever call your kids the wrong name?
All the time. Like, I'll start at the bottom of the list and work my way till I get the right one. You know, well, I only have 3. So, but I'm just saying, I usually, you know, start at one, and by the time I get to the one I'm talking to, I've said all other names.
Yep. I've been there where I call one of my kids, like, they're in trouble for something or they didn't clean up something, and I'll be like, hey, get in here. And then they get in here and said, I don't need you. He said, well, you call for me. I said, no, I'm at your other brother. And he said, well, that's a different name. So I do that quite often. All right, Hannah's got the information.
All right, I have the information now. Okay, so this is Keepers of the Flame is the... Linda
Willoughby
is starting it, and this will be a healing conference. But they have came together, and they said to expect healing, miracles, breakthrough, deliverance, impartation, prophetic words, and preaching the gospel, of course. Mm-hmm. So I said, I want to make sure that I don't miss it. When she was reading all that off, I was like, I want to join. But she said that this will be on May the 12th at 7 Central Time, and then May the 13th at noon. And
so
the,
you were right.
Yeah.
Good job, Hannah.
I thought I remembered, but it's the address is Church Alive, 325 Carter Road, Owensboro, Kentucky. 325 Carter Road, Owensboro, Kentucky. So that's the location.
And I think Old Durkee is doing the worship.
Yes, Josh Durkee is leading the worship.
Well, good stuff, good stuff. Miss Linda called yesterday and asked if we would announce that on the morning broadcast. We said, sure, we want to announce everything we can, and we want to reach out more to our Owensboro area and get some listeners over there engaged, interacting into the family.
It you can also, always do- it says there's an international speaker. I don't know if I'm saying the name right, but Sam Pavla or Dart. Looks like Pavla.
I know he's from India.
Looks like Pavla, yeah. Founder of KJSC.
Sounds like a cheese. Pavla sounds like a cheese.
Well, his Sam,
he likes food.
And he's an international speaker, so that sounds good.
You can't tell me you didn't think of cheese when you heard his last name?
No, I do not. The only cheese, you know, I think of American cheese. So
I just think of a round piece of white cheese when it Pavla. All right, anyways. Sorry, guy. I don't
know
you,
sir. We were
talking
about idols. We were talking about idols. And, you know,
are you praying for me, Greg?
After your conversation yesterday about food, you know, there may be something we ought to take a look at. You know, just saying.
It could be.
I'm just kidding.
Oh, I do want to make this. I had a listener ask if this was just for women or for anyone. And as far as I know, this is for anyone.
Oh,
right?
Sure. Yeah.
So this is... Yep. Both men and women, all are invited. It sounds like it's going to be great. Mm-hmm. I told her, I said, I, if I can, I want to be there. So, it sounds awesome.
All righty. Well, we are in the Gospel of John. The more I get into the Gospel of John, the more I love the Gospel of John. Because, you know, Greg, you've read through the Scripture a lot. You've read through the Word. And isn't it amazing how each time you read through it, even though you may have read it before, the Holy Spirit will illuminate something else about it?
Yeah, I mean, it's living.
Yep.
And, you know, our experiences reflect what we see. You know, different trials brings different meaning to the same scripture, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, and it's it is living. And, like, this read-through of John for me, and when I'm working through it and studying through it, it's just... It's really pointing, I guess, all the other times I've read John, and I don't know how many times I've read John at this point, it's really illuminating to me just how much John's trying to stress Jesus is God. Like, you know, you always know that. I mean, you always see that in John, but it's like all these little spots you missed, like when we just said, you know, to go back to where I was with him before the beginning. I think we just read that yesterday or the day before. And that kind of stuff's really sticking out to me. And when he's saying, you know, you thought this was a hard saying, well, wait till I say this. He said, I'm going back to my dad. I was with him from the beginning of the world. And they're like, you're born of Mary. You're born of Joseph. You're of Nazareth. And they didn't understand everything. And yet John is reassuring, reaffirming, and declaring him that he is the Son of God. And I love that. And
what did you all get up to yesterday? It seemed like I remember y'all's in 7.
I think we are in 7.
We are in 7.
Yep. Okay. Yep. Right. Chapter 7, verse 7, right. And he says, "The world cannot hate you, but me it hateth, because I testify of it that the works there are of evil. Go ye up into this feast. I go not yet unto this feast, for my time is yet not come." When he had said these things unto them, he abode still in Galilee. And let's see here. No, we got past that.
Yeah, I was going to say, I remember you having that conversation.
We did. We got down to verse 16 because we were going to talk about his doctrine. That's what it was. Because at that moment, at first, he didn't go with his disciples to the feast. Now, he ended up going to the feast, but he didn't really... I love it because when he went to the feast, he didn't go for the feast. He went right into the tabernacle as far as we can, the temple. And what did he do? He started preaching. And what did he preach? What we're going to say. Jesus answered him and said, "My doctrine is not mine." He said, "I'm not preaching my own words, but he is that sent me." And so I think that's if Jesus is our example and our standard and who we're striving to be conformed into. And preachers, now hear this. We are not to preach our own doctrine. We are to preach him who sent us. Jesus said it himself. Jesus did not come with his own words, with his own teachings, with his own systematic theology or his own this. He came with the words of the one who sent him. The doctrine that we are after is not the doctrine of the Baptist, not the doctrine of the Presbyterian, not the doctrine of Presbyterians or doctrine of non-denominational or doctrine of Pentecostal or the doctrine of Aaron or the doctrine of Greg. It's the doctrine of him who has saved us, him who has sent us, him who has filled us. And this is the wonderful part. He has given us that doctrine. And that doctrine is found in 66 books, over 40 different authors, over 2,000 years written. And it is the Word of God that is not dead, but as we just said, it's a living Word. And if you are preaching anything other than the Word, you are missing what Jesus has commissioned us to do. And Jesus said it himself. He's in the temple. He's teaching. And what does he say he's doing? He's teaching his Father's doctrine, not his own.
Yeah, and I'm guilty of this. You know, I'm going to have a little confession here for me in my past. You know, as I studied and everything, I would have my view on the way I saw things or whatever. and I would be, you know, instead of having conversation, I'd be defensive and have to defend my point. You know what I'm saying? I'm sure, sure. We've all been there with conversations and everything, and the Lord has moved me from that area, and I'm thankful, you know, because, you know, he didn't let me continue in that pride and that arrogance, and he forgave me and took that away from me. And I've grown so much, and just the understanding that he's given me now is so more rich than before. And you know, because it's not about me. Mm-hmm. You know, if it's just about me, then this ain't much to get out of it. Yeah, if that makes any sense.
Yes sir, I agree. And I think we're all guilty of it. And as preachers and teachers, one thing that we always have to guard against, and I've been guilty of this, I mean, every once in a while it will slip out because we're humans, is preaching our soapboxes or preaching our opinions or preaching about situations that you know is going on in the church that necessarily the Holy Spirit's not leading you to preach on yet. May not be time. Maybe it's a private conversation to have with that person. Don't air people's dirty laundry and preach against it openly if the Spirit of God. Now, if it's like a big thing going through the whole church, you may need to teach on it. You may need to preach on it. But if it's like one person or one couple, I've seen preachers who know that somebody's struggling with something, and they'll preach a whole sermon on it, and everybody in the church knows who they're preaching about. I think we have to be cautious of all that, because I think in that moment we could start preaching our own ideologies, our own thoughts, our own doctrine, our own pursuits, our own agendas. And I think that every time we go behind the pulpit, we have one mission and one job, and that is to preach the Word of God, because it's the Word of God that builds up. It's the Word of God that tear down idols. It's the Word of God that drives off demons. It's the Word of God. Jesus did not go against the enemy and say, hey, I think this. He said, the Word of God says this. And he kept quoting Scripture, kept quoting Scripture over and over.
And also that, you know, you're talking to the preachers, but, you know, I'm not a preacher. And so this applies to me as well, you know, or just if you are a Christian, you know, it's to whosoever.
Yes, sir.
You know, and if and it's so easy, and I believe this is part of the growth, because at first you got to get the Word in you. Mm-hmm. Well, when you like anything new, you don't know about it yet. You're just learning about it, so you haven't, you know what I'm saying? I'm going to use a four-wheeler, for instance. You know, years ago I bought a new four-wheeler, and it's a more powerful four-wheeler than I ever had before. It took me a long time to figure out how to handle that thing. You know, I
did it handle you, or did you handle it?
Well, yeah, it was a 50-50, you know. But I did have a busted lip a couple times. But anyway, which way, and that's the way this is as well. And this is part of the, you know, growing in grace and things. And as long as we're honest, that's the main thing, is, you know, he says, be you hot or cold, if you look warm, I spit you out of my mouth. You know, well, you know, just be honest with yourself. Hey, am I being this way, or am I being like Christ? Am I, you know, and it takes a while for him to get through your barrier, you know what I'm saying, to open your eyes. Mm-hmm. And different ones are, you know, different people, I'm sure, takes longer or less, you know, time. It, you know, you are who you are, and God knows how to deal with you specifically. And if you're honest with yourself, he'll work with you.
Amen. Yes, he will. Verse 17, if any man will do his will, he shall know the he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory, but he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. Did not Moses give you the law, and yet none of you keepeth the law? Why go you about to kill me? I love that verse because he's talking of, I'm not here to complete my own will, I'm here to complete his. I'm not here to complete my own agenda, I'm here to complete his. I'm not here to talk about myself, I'm here to talk about him. And I love this because this is Jesus saying this. Like, this is the Son of God that is sitting here declaring this. And if there's anybody that has permission to talk about himself, to declare the glory of himself, it's Jesus. And yet he humbles himself and he's like, guys, I'm not doing what I want to do. I'm doing the will of my Father. And he's setting that example for us. He's setting the pace. And we do have to get to the point to where we do the will of the Father. And I think sometimes we think of that and people say, well, you know, we kind of classify the will of the Father sectioned off into spirituality or spiritual things. So the will of the Father for me is to pray all the time. Well, we should be in constant prayer. We pray without ceasing. Well, the Father is for me to become this or become that. The will of the Father might be for you to be, as Brother Greg is, an electrical inspector. Maybe that's the will of God for your life. Like, we have to stop making the will of God for our lives just about super spiritual things, because the will of God for our life is to follow him, to do as he says to do, to go where he says to go. He'll have some of you guys be doctors, lawyers. That's what I tell the kiddos all the time. To be a man or woman of God, it's not being a preacher. It's not being a worship leader. It's being a follower. It's being a son of the Most High God. And I think Jesus is setting this pace for all of us to say, I'm not here to do my own will, but I'm here to do the will of my Father. And I think whatever that looks like, we have to be ready and we have to be dead to ourselves enough to be able to say, yes, whatever you want. If it's to be a cook in a restaurant, I say yes and amen. If it's to be an electrical inspector, yes and amen. If it's to be a singer, yes and amen. If it's to make movies, yes and amen, for the glory of God. Whatever God calls us to do, that becomes the will of the Father. But for so long, the will of the Father for a lot of people has just been ministry or this. And if I'm doing the will, God wants everybody in full-time ministry. Well, that's not true. Like, it's really not true. The word never even alludes to that. And I think that's sometimes what we think. If we say yes to the will of the Father, we're just going to go full. Now, so he does call people into full-time ministry, without a doubt. I mean, we're here, like me and Hannah's here. We're in full-time ministry. This is what we do for our life. This is what God's called us into. But it makes us no different than somebody who's called into working a 9-to-5 job and serving the Lord and being on mission at their workplace. I hope this is making sense. Because I want to take it out of the context of the only one that's really doing stuff for God is the one full-time ministry, because we're all, as believers, wherever we're at, on mission with the gospel of Jesus Christ, and he's called us there.
Yeah, I think that's good that you mentioned that. And I think it's important for us to remember that ministry is just wherever you are.
Mm-hmm.
Like, ministry is everywhere. Your ministry is not just in a church or connected to a church organization. Ministry is wherever you're going, because we are the church. We are the church because the temple now is us, and the Holy Spirit dwells in us. Jesus dwells in us. So whenever we're going to our job, wherever that job is, that we can preach. We can preach. We can preach at Walmart. We can preach at McDonald's. We can preach wherever we are. We can even preach in hard situations. We can preach at funerals. We can encourage people wherever we are. We can operate in the gifts that the Lord has given us and the way that he's called us to reach people wherever we are. So I think we have to remember that it's not just in a church building. And really, we should never turn that part of us off.
Mm-hmm.
I like how Aaron has mentioned that before. Like, he can't just turn the preaching off when he goes somewhere. Like, he can't just turn the pastor off when he goes somewhere. Like, I think that's why it's important to find out what the Lord has placed in us and seek that and then use it wherever we are and stop trying to think, okay, if I'm being called to preach, then I have to be a pastor at a church, because that's not true. A lot of times people who are called to preach aren't even called to pastoral at all and don't have that gifting. But sometimes they are called to pastoral, but they're not called to be a pastor of a church. Maybe they're called to be a pastor of their family. Maybe they're called to be a pastor of their friends or their workplace, you know. So we just have to shift our mindset a little bit of thinking that everything has to be within a church building. Because I think that that's where the Lord is bringing a lot of people to right now. God chooses a lot of ordinary people in the Bible.
Yeah.
And those ordinary people, I don't see all of them in a church. Like, I don't see all of them in the New Testament, like, in a church building. He uses a lot of people through Scripture to, you know, go and be evangelists, to go and speak to kings and you know, go and advance the gospel and take risks and go visit, like Brother Joey was talking about last night, like, you know, people who the Lord has gifted with the prophetic and, you know, going and praying for people and interceding for people. He led Elijah to go to a widow, to some person's house that was could have got him killed because the way that he believed was contrary to the way everyone else believed in that land. So he's called people to take risks and go visit people that nobody else wants to visit. So I just think we have to remember we can't compare our walk with the Lord and our calling of what he's telling us to do to other people's. And also, going back to Joey's message, we sometimes the Lord changes our calling or something. Now, okay, when I say calling, sometimes he changes where he's calling us to go. Mm-hmm. So sometimes he will bring us to another season where we might switch jobs. We might move houses, you know, and we have to be tuned to the Spirit to listen to that, because sometimes when we do stay in the same place for a long time, we start to get stagnant. And so I believe that you still operate in that. If he gave you the calling to preach, you still operate in that preaching wherever you're going, but he might move you because to keep you on your toes, to keep you reaching the people that he wants you to reach. Sorry, that I took a long time explaining that, but
no, you're fine.
I think a lot of people might get confused about that when we start to compare our lives and think that it has to look like our pastor or it has to look like somebody else's.
Well, and when it comes down to it, Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you ask the Father what you will and it be, or ask what you will and it be done unto you. So when it comes down to it, it's just him. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Simple terms, it's focusing on, if you're focused on him, then all these other things are going to be they're just going to come.
I think Jesus said it really good himself right there. He that speaketh of himself or seeketh his own glory. And if we are always consumed with ourselves, we're consumed with our glory.
That might be an idol.
Yep. And if we're if we're consumed with his glory, we're pursuing him. We're seeking him. And unrighteousness is not found in us. Yep. Because all we are desiring is to walk with him, to serve him, to love him.
Yep.
Now, I heard one person at one time said something to the effect, if you ever say I in a message or something, it's not godly. But I mean, sometimes you testify of yourself, like, because who do we know best? Ourself. Like, and so, like,
what better testimony than
And so I don't necessarily, like, sometimes you're gonna have to preach. I preach on myself all the time because I make enough mistakes that I don't want anybody else to make. So I just say, I did this wrong, you all don't. I'm trying to help you here. I'm not trying to be vain. I'm trying to get them not to walk in the same issues, the same mistakes that I've made in my life. And so I think that's not what he's talking about here. If you ever say I or say something about who, you know, what you're doing, he's talking about, why are you doing it for? Like, why are we doing what we're doing? Is it for our own glory? Is it for our own name? Is it for his name to be known? I don't even want people to know my name. I want people to know Jesus. And I just want to be – this is the thing I do love about radio is we're not trying to get our faces out. Like, I can assure you this. If Box 2 Radio ever gets a billboard – I'm not going on it. Hannah's not going on it. We're not putting a person's face. Like, somebody made a slide, and we got it playing before the services. Mariah made a slide and put my ugly face on it for the Gospel of John study. And I'm like, man, we need to get that off. For one, it looks like my neck is swollen. Looks like I need neck sit-ups or something like that. I asked Heather, says, my neck really that fat? She goes, I guess. I don't know, kind of deal.
It's a picture of you.
I said, how do you get that neck to slim down a little bit? I said, as much as I talk, it should be in shape a little bit more than what it is. I was thinking maybe it's just a picture where it looked like a bloated frog eating something. But I'm not concerned with people getting our face. I don't want people to know our names. I want people to know who Jesus is.
Amen.
And I think this is what Jesus was talking about here. He's not trying to do his own will. He's not trying to get his own glory. He's trying to get the glory of the Father into the earth. And I love that.
Wow.
So
we could spend a long time on that verse.
You could. We could.
And
for
I think
sure.
If we do start talking about idols, we should definitely come back to it.
Yeah.
Because I think a lot of people, they don't even count it possible that they can make ministry an idol.
Oh,
or that they can make their pastor an idol, their leader an idol, someone that they're looking to, thinking that they have to be just like them in order to be loved by God, in order to be where they need to be. And I think people don't talk about that enough.
I have
need
some
to be just like Christ.
Yes.
Testimony on that for sure. All right, we're going to take a break here. Let's read that first trivia question of the morning. Thursday question number one. Actually, we never had an answer for the second trivia question yesterday, so we'll start out with that one. Wednesday question number two, which is now Thursday question number one, sponsored by the Sicilian Bank. In Revelation, what did the Spirit promise to the churches that would overcome? In Revelation, what did the Spirit promise to the churches that would overcome? 270-230-633. That's my number. You can call in 270-257-2689. Call in 270-257-26. I'm so flustered right now. What is this number? 270-257-2689.
Okay, there you go.
We'll be back after the break here on Mornings of Box 2 Radio on the Box 2 Radio Network. All righty, we are back here on Mornings with Box 2 Radio on the Box 2 Radio Network. We are excited for all that God still has in store for this morning. Let's see here. I have several calling in on the broadcast. I'm back on, so I can't answer the phone right now for the answer on that question. So we'll have to open it back up on the next break. But here we go. It's toughy. It's a toughy. It's tough. And I don't really know how to help you without just giving the answer. Because it's like some of what you all are saying are true, but it's not the one Miss Gretchen's looking for. There's a specific one to the churches that would overcome. I can give you this much. It's in Revelation chapter 2. That's as much as I can give you. And so, because it's like some of the stuff people saying is technically not really wrong, but it's not the one Miss Gretchen is looking for in the specific case. So that's the best I can do. So it's in Revelation chapter 2 to hint to the churches overcome. I'll open this back up at the next break. I apologize for the ones that I couldn't get to at the moment when I went back on the air. We usually don't have anybody extra in the studios until about 8 to answer phones. So it's just me right now because Mariah's out of town. And so I'm pushing the buttons and trying to talk and trying to lose some weight in my neck still. Look at that picture again. It inspires me.
Just do some head banging.
If I eat green food, will it help my neck weight?
Honestly, that's what I was about to say. You know, I don't want to offend, but something I've learned that could be maybe helpful is sodium. A lot of the food that you like most likely has a lot of sodium.
So sodium goes to the neck?
It makes you bloat. It makes you bloat. It makes you retain water and bloat. So.
Oh, go straight to
and
the
there's
deck.
No telling. I mean, if you will actually look at the sodium content on half of like your processed foods and stuff in a bag, like it's bad.
Well, I don't even want to look at my sodium content.
Well, if you drink more water, though, it can help counteract it.
Oh, that's healthy. What's good about water?
It helps you live longer.
Well, I've been drinking Pepsi for a little while now, and it's still. No, I'm just kidding. All right. Anyways, it's Jacob Swift said it's all that cattleman's food That was one day. My fat neck did not come from one meal at Cattleman's. It didn't help the case, but I don't think it's the whole cause of it. All right, and we invited you to go, Jacob. You were welcome to go. all right, but I will say this, that we, coming home from Cattleman's, we were talking to Brother Tim about this because he took his lovely bride, Miss Betty, for their anniversary up to Cattleman's. And Brother Greg, have you been on I-65 any time lately?
Yeah.
Between E-Town and Shepherdsville, I promise you, there's potholes that will swallow your car. It is nuts.
And driving the fast lane.
Driving the fast lane? Well, I couldn't get over to the fast lane. My van was swallowed by a pothole. there was one time I thought about pulling over and saying, is everything in the front end of my van just broke? I mean, like, it was... Was there not? Like,
no, it was pretty bad.
Oh, my gosh.
We lifted probably a few inches off of our seat.
And poor Heather,
hitting the bumps.
Poor Heather, she was recovering for surgery back there. And
I know.
I mean, it was like we was in a skating park or something like that. We were getting ready to grind off the rail. It was intense. And I'm sitting there going, how is it still like that whenever literally they've been working on it as long as I've been alive? It's the same piece of road. How much work can you put into one piece of road?
Yeah, it was so bad that Miss Betty said, I don't know if Cattleman's is worth it if you have to drive that back to get home.
Now we got listeners saying, Aaron, eat your vegetables. Thank you all. Thank you all for having listeners reassure me to eat my vegetables. All right, anyways, before we get back on what Greg calls my idol of food, we're going to get on to the Word of God. And so we had a lot of listeners, too. A lot of the family yesterday text me and say thank you for talking about prayer, really engaging in that conversation about prayer. Prayer is something that, we all talk about, but we always don't talk about practically how to do it. And so we say stuff like, Greg, you need to be praying all day long. So Greg, I'm just using Greg as an illustration. I'm sure he don't do this, but he'll start to pray and he'll be like, all right, I'm going to go pray. And he'll get through his list and he thinks, well, I got enough list to last an hour. All right. And then 3 minutes into the prayer life, he's already prayed off his prayer list. And he's like, what do I do now? And this is the unfortunate thing. We've made prayer nothing more than our prayer list. Prayer lists are an important aspect because it reminds us what to pray for. There's things we do pray for. We have in the sanctuary, we have these little wall of flames, card things, I don't know what you call them, where people put their prayer requests on there. We want to pray for that. But prayer is much bigger than just petitioning and asking of things. Prayer is relationship and communion.
Yeah, so, for me... And this is nothing of me, but it's what the Lord, how he has moved in me and worked in me and got me to this point. And so, I'm in my truck a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And, the majority of my day, I'm running scripture over my head, where I'll call friends and we'll talk about scripture. And it's nothing of me because, I can't say that's the full day because there's time, anybody knows me, I've got a lot of projects in my garage. And I'll be in the middle of a project. Well, I'll be working on that in my head. I'm not saying that, but I would say that the majority of my time is spent, meditating on the Lord. It ain't always been that way. It's only because of his work in me. I don't want to take any of this credit because greater is he and me, not me. But that's, I used to think I had to say this big, long prayer and I had to say all these right words. Just have him on your mind. Mm-hmm. Just be mindful of him and all the things that you do, like as you're doing things, just have him on your mind during that task that you're doing. It's just, just keeping him relevant in your day to day. That is communion with, that's what he wants is fellowship with him. I wish, my prayer sometimes is just as if I wish he could just sit right next to me just as if my buddy's sitting there and we can just sit there and just chit chat. You know what I'm saying? That's that's the place that I strive for, you know, and to me, that would just be heaven on earth. I mean, you know, if we could just sit there and I could just, you know, just like you're sitting over here and I could just tell you about my day. And you know, to me, I'd like for him to be that real in my day to day, if that makes any sense at all.
Yeah. And I truly believe, our desire and hunger for him and just us keeping him on our mind like that, I believe he does sit down there beside you.
Yes.
I really do. Like, I believe he will come and sit right there beside you. And I have talked to people who have actually seen him, you know, seen him there in the midst. And that's amazing to me that the Lord, you know, gave them eyes to see that. But I do believe that with having that faith and that love for him without actually being able to see him, you know, for the majority of the time, because even people, excuse me, even people who have seen him, I know they don't see him every single day. Yeah. That might be like a one-time thing or a few-time thing. So I do know that he will honor us, you know, even though we can't see him, we know he's there.
Oh, yeah.
We know he's there. And there's, he honors that, because that's faith, is praying and believing and fellowshipping and having communion with our God who we can't see, but we don't even have to see physically because we see him all around us and everything. We see him working.
Yeah.
And that's what gives us that assurance, is because he's alive and active. Like, we see him alive and active around us. So even when we can't see him, we know he's always there. It's beautiful.
And I want to add too, you know, I didn't always feel this way. You know, I used to be a fan and you know, of Jesus. Like, he was upstage, you know, and I was down in the crowd and I was just rooting, you know, and cheering for him, you know. Only through a lot of trials and tribulations did I get close to him. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And I got to get up on the stage with him, so to speak, you know. Mm-hmm. And now, through those trials and tribulations and falls and just through all that mess that I've made and he's pulled me out of, has got me to the point that I just want to be with him all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And that's that only comes through, that's a process, you know. So where you are in your process, if you're out there like, well, Greg, I don't feel that way. Well, I've been there. I didn't always feel that way either. But always go back to just be honest with yourself and know where you are and trust the Lord. You know, whenever I was cold, I knew I was cold. I didn't try to be, you know, I didn't try to be hot or whatever. When I was cold, I was cold, because it says either be hot or cold. If you're lukewarm, I'll spew you out of my mouth. So, you know, Brother Curtis, he's my preacher. We used to work together. And at that time, this was years ago, probably 13 years ago, I guess, or somewhere around there. We was working. He said, man, I love you. I was like, all right, that's good. Thanks. Mm-hmm. Well, you don't love me? Man, I'm not going to tell you that. I couldn't tell him that. I wasn't going to lie. You know what I'm saying? Because I didn't feel it. And I told him, I said, man, I'm not going to lie to you and tell you something to make you feel good. That's just where I'm at right now. You know, don't get me wrong. If you're on fire, I'm going to put you out. But I didn't have that love in me, you know? Mm-hmm. And I was just cold. And but I was honest with myself, and I was honest with the Lord. I didn't try to be something that I wasn't. And if we all can do that, he can work with us. If that makes, you know, if that helps anybody out there that's dealing with different things. And you know, because I would look at people on fire and I'm like, how you do that? I mean, I'm sitting here, I'm cold as ice, you know, but.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think sometimes with our prayer life and sometimes in those, dry seasons or those seasons that we really don't know what's going on or anything to that regard, I think some of those most significant prayer times I've ever had, and I've talked about this preaching some, is those moments where I just come into the sanctuary or just go into a secret place or, you know, just kind of get off by myself and I don't talk. I just get into his presence and I listen and I just sit. That's an aspect of prayer. And so I've known for sure that I've walked into the sanctuary before on, like, in the evenings to pray, and I'll start to pray and start to walk the pews, and I'll start to call out people's names, and I'll start to pray for their families, and then I'll end up just in the front laying on my face, not sleeping. So if you come in there and I'm on my face, I'm not sleeping, but I'm just, like, resting. I'm resting in His presence, and I think that's an aspect of prayer. Yeah. Sometimes prayer is asking. Sometimes prayer is petitioning. Sometimes prayer is taking a scripture and just saying, Lord, can you reveal this scripture to me? Explain, teach me, Holy Spirit, because you're the greatest teacher. Sometimes prayer is walking up there to the altar or walking into your bedroom and just saying, help. And that's pretty much it. Like, help. Like,
and hey, I'm telling you, for several years, my prayer was, Father, don't give up on me. And that was, wow, that was all I could say. I didn't,
wow.
That was all I could say was, Lord, don't give up on me. Man, that's rough. I hadn't been there in a while, but that's where I was, I was just in that place of learning. And, you know, we talked about being young and the Lord is just like a child as it grows up. You know, you take a child and they're going to eat whatever they can eat. And they're going to spit out the nasty things. You know, they're going to try all the things. And just like a young person in Christ. Sorry about that. I thought I had that turned down.
Oh, you're good.
Just
mine
like
does it all
a,
time.
A young person in Christ, the world draws us, you know, just like something will draw a kid away, you know, and we go after it. Well, we find out it's not good.
So. Mm-hmm.
That's good.
Yeah.
Oh.
No, go ahead. No, you're something. Fine. No, you're fine.
I really liked that kind of analogy that you used with the stage and being a fan of Jesus. And actually when you were saying that, and then you mentioned how, you know, you used to see people being on fire and think, well, how do I get there? Like, and I remember being there. I remember that was me at one point. I remember when I was in a cold place and I hadn't experienced the Lord's presence. I've been walking with the Lord since I was a little kid. So it's been a process throughout my whole life. But in that cold season, I remember thinking, like, where did I go wrong? Like, Lord, have you left me? Like, how do I get on fire? But when you mentioned that stage analogy, I just started to see, normally celebrities, they stay up on stage and they have bodyguards that are protecting them. And you're not allowed to really get up on there with them in today's culture. Like, you can't really get up there. It's like they're the celebrity and everyone else is just below them. But I just, like, imagine, like, Jesus, I just visualized Jesus stepping down off of the stage and walking to where you were. And that's the thing is we can't get to where we can't get to where somebody else is, because it's not us getting there. It's Him walking down. Oh, I feel that. I feel that in my spirit. It's Him walking down off of that place, off of that throne, off of that stage, and walking to where we are. And I felt like that is the beauty of Jesus, is because He sees us in a crowd of millions of people, billions. He sees us and walks down and meets us where we are and comes and embraces us. Whew. That's an amazing analogy.
Yeah, he comes down. It.
I love it. I love it. Y'all going to start crying in there. I learned this a long time ago. I stopped saying I'm never a crier. That one share-a-thon, I said, hey, I never cry. And then the whole share-a-thon, I cried. So if y'all start crying, I'm not going to say I'm not going to cry, but
I'm well, crying. You know, the thing about it is, I mean, to any listeners out there that's struggling or whatever, you know, it's God sees you.
Yeah.
You know, and God knows that nothing is overtaking you that is common to man. You know, so you're not the only one that's dealing, you know, you're not alone. I don't know who this is for out there, but He sees you, and He's working on you.
Mm-hmm.
You may not realize it right now, But this feelings that you have and all this, you know, he's growing you. And just, if anything, just ask him, don't give up on me and don't give up on yourself.
Yeah.
Amen.
One listener sent in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, but I'm going to read verse 16 and 17. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing in everything. Give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Verse 19, quench not the spirit. Despise not prophecies. Disprove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. It's an action-packed little few verses right there. But I love that because it's talking about quench not the spirit. Well, how would we quench the spirit? By not giving thanks, by not praying without ceasing, by holding to things that are not good, by doing evil. Like whatever we're, it's kind of like this. If one preacher said, if there's a dove on your shoulder, you never want it to fly away. That's not just not sinning, though. If you have a animal on your shoulder, like a dove, and you never, or you say like this, Brother Greg's talked about, you all talked earlier about how, you know, somebody sit, your best friend sitting next to you and you just chit chatting. Well, if you never talk to your best friend next to you, that best friend's going to leave sooner or later because he don't feel valued. He don't feel appreciated. He don't feel loved because you never even acknowledge that he's there. And I think that's how it is sometimes in our prayer life, is we never even acknowledge Jesus is there. We never talk to him. We never pray. We never seek. We never commune. And then we expect him just to always be there when we need him. Well, Jesus is not a pocket full of change you just carry around and let it jingle for a while until you got to have something to give somebody. Jesus is your all in all. He's your everything. In him we move. In him we have our being. In him we think. In him we ponder. Anything we do, every single thing that we do is in him. He is our all in all. And so often it's just like Jesus is this good addition to our Christmas tree, but that's all he is. And we've got to quit that. Like, he is our, if you want to go into idols, this is a segue. Like, because really we have all these idols and then we try to throw Jesus in the midst of them and it just never works. I assure you of that. Just ask the Philistines when they put the Ark of the Covenant in with the into the Temple of Dagon. Every morning when they woke up, Dagon was on his face. He was broken. He was destroyed. And so we have to get to where Jesus is our all in all. Nothing is standing in his place. Nothing else is taking the stage that he has on our life. Nothing else is taking the place. And so often that does happen. And I say this a lot, and I may be the only person, but in the mornings when I reach for my phone before I reach for Christ, there's an issue. In the morning when I reach for, now y'all are going to think this is far-fetched for me, if I reach for the bacon sandwich before I reach for the Lord, there's an issue. The Lord is our first one we spend time with in the morning and the last one we spend time with at night. And it's throughout the day he's with me. My life revolves around him. And somehow, some way, we have left that in Christianity and we pick him up on Wednesday nights and Sunday mornings and then we drop him on the way home to the restaurant or after church to the restaurant. Like, I think that it's, prayer is the thing, and I think this is why so many people push prayer, is that prayer is the thing that keeps us focused and centered onto him. And if we lose that, we lose him.
And what you're describing there is a goal, because it don't start that way.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't start that way at all. It starts little by little until you get to that point, you know.
Yeah.
And then, you know, that's the point to strive for, that he is. But until we have to experience things and see to see our unrighteousness so that we can realize we need his righteousness.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Or else we're only riding in our own self-righteousness.
Yeah.
So these experiences that we have, you know, if you're like me, you're going to be hard-headed, and you're going to ride these experiences out for a while thinking you're man enough to handle these things. Well, you're not. Just disclaimer. he's more powerful than you, and his righteousness is so much better, and it's so I don't know what the word is, just pure and clean. Like I was just, you know, filthy before, you know, and this was even after I was born again. You know, I'm talking this experience that I'm speaking of today. I was born again, and I was a fan, but not a follower. And now I'm a follower and not a fan. It's he through all these trials and these tribulations and my unrighteousness that he's pulled me from, I seek him every day because of that.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Yeah. And before we go to break at our hard break here, you know, the more we seek him, there's that old song, the more I find him. Yeah. And the more I find him, the more I seek him.
Yep.
Yeah.
That is true.
It's
the closer you get to him, the more sin you see in yourself. And the more you pour in of him, the more of you pours out.
That's right.
Yes.
All right, so let's try to get this trivia question. I'm going to knock this trivia question out. Somebody's going to answer it this time. I feel it. It's like a fire shut up in my bones. I know it's going to happen. In Revelation, what did the Spirit promise to the churches that would overcome? 270-257-2689. We'll be right back here after the break on Mornings of Box 2 Radio on the Box 2 Radio Network. All righty, we are back here on this April the 20th, 2023 edition of Mornings of Box 2 Radio. What a great day we've had so far, talking about prayer, talking about John chapter 7 and not doing things according to our own will, but the will of the Father who has sent us, not pursuing our own glory, but the glory of God. And I think all that has been such a profitable morning so far. Listeners, Miss Gail said she loves both of you guys, and she's so thankful to have young people on fire for the Lord. And Hannah actually is young, and me and Greg just thank you for calling us young.
How old are you?
36.
Oh, I got you.
Yeah, I still like to think I'm a little bit young, but I do have a lot of gray hair.
I'm not old. I'm 42. I'm not 18 anymore, but I'm not old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think we're old.
My kids think I am, but I'm not.
Look, somebody came up to me the other day, and I don't know if this is a compliment or what, but they said, "Are you 47? I said, "No, I'm 36. And they go, "Oh, we thought you were 47. I said, "I don't even look 47 yet. Maybe it's the big neck. All right, anyways.
It's that sodium.
It's that sodium straight to sodium. The neck. All right.
Yeah. Just kidding.
All right. Well, it has been a good morning so far again, and we do have reminder tonight at Crosspoint, 5:30 p.m. Make plans, come out and worship the Lord with them. It's going to be a great night of just the presence of the Lord and the community coming together and worshiping the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we're excited. I think we're going to try to go to it. We're going to, Lord willing. I used to not say Lord willing, even though the scripture said Lord willing, and now I realize,
me too,
Lord willing. Yes, unless
me too.
It's like the old generation. You say, if the creek don't rise.
Yeah. did we get a trivia question?
We have not got the trivia yet.
Oh man, I just really right. got it.
So are we allowed to answer it?
Let me just say this: everybody keeps on saying the tree of eat of the tree of life. All right, and
that's not the answer she's looking for.
It's not the answer she's looking for. That's the hard thing. And so we do have many have said eating of the tree of life, and it's not. It's something else, and it is scripture. So I can't, like, one time we really did have an answer wrong, and we yeah. repented and asked for forgiveness and gave the right answer to everybody who called in and gave the right answer. This one, it really is there in Revelation 7 to the churches. Now, Greg, you're going to like this. This is one of the few times the churches refer to. It says to the churches, and then it refers to the pronoun he. Usually it's she, but in this one it's he, and the he refers to the churches. And so he did this, but it was the churches, because it's to the churches that overcome.
What's that got to do with me? I don't even understand what.
Well, me and you had this whole conversation one day. Remember when we did our 3.5 hours of study in the room?
I remember
was figuring out what pronouns were used for the church.
I got you.
And so,
well, my thing for the church is candlesticks and olive trees.
I thought he was going to go for like candlestick and Didn't talk about steak with Jesus or coffee with Jesus. The candlesticks, and I do love it. We talked about this last Sunday whenever it talks about the candlesticks. And one listener said, can you reread the question? Let's see here. In Revelation, what did the Spirit promise to the churches that would overcome? In Revelation, what did the Spirit promise to the churches that would overcome? Miss Gail says, I'm jokingly saying that I'm 39 with years and years and years with experience. I love it.
Yeah, my wife's annual 29th birthday is May the 1st.
Your wife's
annual 29th birthday. I'm not telling which annual it is. I heard you say it.
I was like, wait a second, what now?
Her annual 29th birthday is May the 1st.
I always tell her that women don't get past 29.
Yeah.
And so when I say happy birthday to
them. How many annuals that is.
Yep.
But there's an annual.
It's an annual. Oh, my goodness. Miss Gail gave me a dad joke of the day yesterday. She said, did you know Adam and Eve had a computer with a really short memory? Just one byte and it all crashed. An Apple computer.
Oh, man.
Oh, good stuff. All right. So we have talked about prayer. And then we have, like we said, last night at Bethel and last night at Clarkson Community, both places, idols was discussed. And then we discussed briefly before about idols prior to the break. And I think it's important to note this, that idols, and we've already alluded to this, but it's a thing that we want to drive home and reinforce. Idols may not be you bowing down and worshiping in an astropo on behalf of Baal or somebody like that. Like, idols is something that you put before the Lord. Idol is something that you look to give you the source that only the Lord can provide, or salvation, or healing, or reference. I mean, like, if you put anything before the Lord, that can become an idol.
So basically, that's the Antichrist. And the way I describe that is anything that you put your faith in instead of Christ.
Mm.
So, like, whoever's hearing this knows what their faith is in. And if it's anything instead of Christ, it could be an idol. And what the Lord showed me, like I said, I think me and you was talking about earlier, and I've talked about it last night even, where your disappointments are, there is your idol, because there's no disappointment in Christ. And we was talking in a break here, and talking about idols, and I look back and, in my early walk, I would look at people in church, and I would think, man, I need to be like that one. I need to be like this one, and I didn't realize it at the time, because we was talking to, I share my experiences, how I struggle. But if you're around people that doesn't ever talk about their struggles, it gives the appearance as if they've got it all figured out. And then you have, young Christians looking up thinking they have to be perfect, or something's wrong with them. And I think that can become an idol, looking at the people around us instead of looking for Christ. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and people very well could become an idol. And honestly, I think we talked about this prior to this broadcast. So we talked before, and I don't want to say something we already said on the broadcast, but I think we said this before when we was off, is that our kids can become an idol.
Yeah.
Our spouses can become an idol.
Sports.
And sports can become an idol. And
jobs.
So all of that, like, people go, what are you talking about? Well, I say this. A lot of times we unjustly and unrightly put our spouses in the area of Savior. And when they let us down or something like that, we crash with it. But it's because we're putting them somewhere they don't belong. And it's unfair to them to put them in that area.
Your paycheck.
Yes, a paycheck. Goodness gracious.
I'm guilty of that. I used to have my faith was in my paycheck, that was before the Lord spoke to me about starting Calvary Hill. And my faith was in my paycheck. As long as I had a good job, a good paying job, I was going to be all right.
Yep.
Well, the Lord said, okay, I need you to start your own company, and I will provide you with your work. So away I went, and here I am today. Thank the Lord.
And so, he sure did that because you're one busy guy.
I really liked Joey's definition of an idol last night. He said, it's an unauthorized person, place, or thing you are looking to meet your needs instead of God.
Mm-hmm.
And that is because every idol, someone is looking to it to meet their needs. I don't know why I never realized that. Like, in my mind, that just didn't click with me. I mean, I know that it's obvious when we look in Scripture, but you just don't think of it like that. You just think of, like, oh, like, people just don't want to worship God, so they want to worship an idol. Mm-hmm. They want to be rebellious, is what I always thought. Like, mm-hmm. idols were just, you're being rebellious against God. But really, if you get down to the root of it, it's a provision issue. Mm-hmm. It is a provision issue.
Yeah. And you know, like, it's we put a lot of things in that providence place. And it's because we're built to need. Like, we're built to depend on something. We're built to worship something, I guess you could say. And
we're going to serve something.
Yes. And if God's not in that place, we'll put something in that place.
Right. I mean, that's one thing the Lord showed me. We're going to serve something as long as we're living.
Yep.
We're serving something, whether we're serving ourselves, we're serving somebody else, or we're serving God. You know, choose you this day who you will serve, because you're going to serve something. You're going to serve somebody.
Mm-hmm. And then you're going to be a slave to that thing. Yep. That's the thing.
Who you yield, like, your members to, the slave you are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It says.
I would rather be a slave to Christ than a slave to any of these idols, because, and even, I don't want to be a slave to a relationship, because the thing is, I think if we would look at, you know, the things that we're desiring aren't bad desires. If we get down to the root of it, most people, we're desiring love, we're desiring attention, we're desiring affection, we're desiring like our needs to be met, we desire to feel safe, to not have to worry. And if we get down to all those roots, God provides all of that.
All of
but we seek so many, we seek, you know, if we are seeking our spouse as an idol, then we're wanting them to give us attention. We're wanting them to make us feel worthy or loved. But the thing is, a person or a place or a thing was never designed to be able to provide that.
Yeah.
They can't.
Now, it's important to note, though, that God loves marriage, and marriage is not bad. And that just because you're married, it's not you have an idol. It's that when you expect, per se, your spouse to be in the place of God.
Yes. When you're going to your spouse first for everything before you ever talk to God about it.
And if you don't have a proper perspective on, my spouse was given to me from God as a helpmate, and we're going to go to him for everything, and then together we'll walk in grace and mercy and grow and stretch, grow in the knowledge and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. But what happens a lot, though, is that we're not seeking God, and so because we're not worshiping anything, we put somebody in the place of there, and a lot of time that is our spouse, and we begin to worship them. Or, and this is probably one of the most unfair things, is when we put our kids in that place. So if our kids have a gift, all right, say your kids have a great arm for pitching in baseball, well, we're going to worship that arm, and we're going to literally put our whole life around that arm. And our kids are going to play, he's going to play travel league baseball, he's going to play inside baseball, he's going to play winter, fall, spring.
He can wear that arm out.
And they're going to blow the arm out, but their whole life is revolved around that arm.
Yep.
To the point where they pretty much quit coming to church because of that arm, because, well, travel league's on Sunday morning. Their whole life's on hold because of that arm. Don't tell me that arm's not become an idol at that place. Like, it has been. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with sports, but if your whole life revolves around your kid's sports, that is an idol at that point. And and I think it's time the church starts calling some of this stuff out, because for one, it's unfair to that kid.
Yeah. Well, and another thing too, my people perish for lack of knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't even realize it, you know. So, you know, I didn't always know what I know now. it took some hard knocks to get me here, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I think these conversations that we have about this will open the eyes to different people. You know, we're not condemning anybody out there.
No.
Hear this, listener. We're not condemning anybody out there. There's no condemnation here. All we're doing is pointing out how things can get in place of Christ. And if that fits you, then pray about it. You know, ask the Lord, seek the Lord. He will deliver you.
Yeah.
And he will make, he will give you eyes to see, and he'll give you ears to hear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there is no condemnation, but there's an invitation that we would put the Lord in his proper place.
Yes, yes, for sure.
And so we sit there and we wonder, why does my life just seem like it's falling apart? Or why doesn't it seem like anything's working? It's because you have something in the place of the Father.
Right, yeah.
And we're trying to get the Father in the proper place. And if when we say when the order's right, the glory falls, it's not when people get in their proper place. It's when the Lord gets in his proper place in our hearts.
Yeah.
Then
yeah.
Everything else starts to fall into place. Mm-hmm. And when that gets right, the glory really will fall, because now we are right because he's right in our life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the moment we continue to, and I'm not against sports. I grew up playing sports. My kids don't play sports right now. For one, most of them's not interested in it. For two, I knew what it did to me as a kid. And so, and I'm just kind of protecting them as long as I possibly can. But one day my kids will play sports. Nolan loves it. He's going to play ball. I know he's going to play ball. But I don't want that to become I don't want to live vicariously through him. And a lot of times we put our kids, our spouses, our paychecks, as Greg said, our jobs, our homes, our cars, our toys, whatever that looks like. One listener said sometimes we even make respect and honor an idol, that we treat it better than we treat God.
Self-righteousness, that's a big idol right there. It's very, very camouflaged.
Yeah, there's so many things. And again, a lot of these things we just mentioned are good things. But if they're good things put in the wrong place, it becomes a wrong thing.
Yeah.
And that becomes a dangerous thing, because now we put them in the place of the Father. And so
That self-righteousness, you know, and I talk about it being camouflaged, that is one thing that gets in. You think you're doing right. I'm doing all these things, you know, like the Pharisees. They was doing word by word, or so they said, like Saul of Tarsus. You know, he was doing the work of God, he thought, and he was persecuting Christians. In his righteousness and his understanding of what he was reading and his word, or all of his studies, he studied at the feet of Gamaliel, which that guy back then, you had to quote the first five books of the Bible, just stand there and say it before he'd even teach you. So he knew the word, but he didn't know Jesus. And without Jesus, the word is just words on a paper.
Yeah.
Without the Spirit to guide you and to bring them alive.
That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, and to anyone out there right now who's listening, who maybe you're kind of searching your mind or searching your heart for idols that you might have, we just want to encourage you that no idol can provide or offer more than the Lord can. Jesus can offer way more than any other thing in this world. Because honestly, idols present false provision is what they do. They're false gods. That's why they're considered like a false god, because they have limitations. The only God that has no limitations is the God of the universe, Yahweh, Jesus. That's a reason why they are the one true God, because everything is truth. But all of these other idols, and I'm not saying your spouse is like a god or something like that. I'm just saying, whatever you're looking to, you're basically making your god a god in your life is a flawed thing, because everything is flawed other than Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
He's the only flawless, spotless, and that's why we serve him. Why would we want to put something before him that is flawed? And that's not saying that, just like we were saying earlier, things aren't evil in themselves, but it becomes evil if we make them our God. because they were never created to be our God. Our God is the one who created that thing and created us and created the whole universe. So
yeah, when she's saying our God, just think of a provider. Mm-hmm. You know, God is our provider. And if we put something in front of him for our provision, that's an idol.
Yeah. Well, it's a good discussion, and I think it's a healthy one and a profitable one, because we do have idols in our hearts. Mm-hmm. And
they can creep in very subtly.
Yes. And I think it's always important to remember that idols are not always apparently bad things. Idol becomes can be a good thing in the wrong place. Yeah. And it's where we just have to have a proper hierarchy in our home life of what's important, what's not. And like we said, entertainment, sports, all these things, there's nothing inherently wrong about that. It's what we're doing with those and where are they at in our life. And like, I know couples that basically, you know, their kids are involved in youth group until it's travel league baseball season. And then their kids don't have anything to do with the Lord for that season. And people go, well, that's just okay. What are you showing your kids at that point? You're showing your kids that baseball is more important than the Father. It's more important than assembling together and learning of the things of the Lord. I'm not trying to condemn you, like Greg said. I'm really not. Like, I'm trying to say, let's make sure that we're setting the pace for our kids well and leaving a very good legacy, because a legacy is not just money. Legacy is the what we've taught them, what we've showed them, what we left them with. And I don't want my kids to grow up and say, Dad liked watching NFL more than he liked going to church with the family.
Yeah, and you know, I'm sitting here, I'm thinking another way idols can creep in is the Lord will deliver you from something, and he uses something to deliver you. And that's something that he used, you hold on to. And, you know, two things that comes to my mind is manna from heaven. You know, he gave them manna every day. But if they was to put it in a satchel, what happened? They got worms and it was no good. Mm-hmm. So, you know, he made a way to where that manna couldn't be their idol. And then also I look at Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
So, they got to Egypt in a drought because of Joseph, but then they stayed there. They didn't return to the land that the Lord had given them. They stayed there in their blessing, and their blessing become a bondage, which mm-hmm. is an idol. And that's what an idol is. It's bondage.
Yeah.
I was just smiling because I love confirmation. I don't know if you had a chance to listen last night to the live stream at Wednesday night, but I'm pretty sure Aaron said pretty close to those exact words that you just spoke about Egypt that went along with Joey's message about how sometimes, you know, what the Lord uses to deliver us can become an idol. And sometimes we stay too long in the place or the thing that, you know, they stayed too long in Egypt. And I just thought that was cool.
No, just for everybody just listening, I had no idea. I don't even know who you're talking about at this time.
I just think that's cool that, you know, the Lord speaks the same things. And that's so true. And I had never really looked at it that way. That, you know, he did. He used that to deliver them. But then that became an idol. That became a comfort.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And what... one preacher one time said, what was once your deliverance become your bondage if you stay there too long.
Yep.
And I think that's a very good statement. So good stuff. We don't have a guest today. And so we're going to continue on some Bible discussion. Greg Carwile is our guest. We're going to interview him after the break.
Oh, great. All right. Well, let it rip.
But
y'all hold on.
All right. So here's our dilemma, though. I gotta set up our dilemma.
Okay.
Our dilemma is this. We still have an answer, but Miss Renee did get it right on text messages.
Call in, Miss Renee. Quick. Hurry. Call in.
She did get it right on text message. I'm in this dilemma. She's the only one that's got it right so far. And she didn't get it right on text message.
Rules are rules. Got to call
I know.
In.
That's what I'm saying.
Hurry up. Call
Come on, Renee.
Yeah. Actually, we're held to our rules because of FCC. If we have a drawing or something like this, and we do. You're going to give it to her? Miss Gretchen's wanting to give it to her.
Okay.
Renee, call in Hannah. Just call her phone. Just call her phone. Call leave a phone. Message. Leave a message. I don't know at this point. She's the only one that's got this right. It's a tricky one. Yeah. All right? Because it's like what everybody else is saying is not necessarily wrong, but yes. That one specific scripture is what she's looking for. And Miss Renee, I have heard through the grapevine that you did a great job speaking last night at Wilson Home. I'm curious, was it recorded? I'd love to hear it.
I would love to also. She said if she calls in, she'll get in trouble. But I guess she could call in later.
Miss Gretchen's wanting to give it to her. This rules are rule. I'm in a dilemma here. I don't like this. Is why I don't like the rule of no texting in. But I do understand the rule because it does get if 12 people texting at one time and three of them's me and three of them's Hannah and three of them's Greg, we don't know who's doing it. Oh, who's gonna call in? Miss Gretchen's answering the phone.
Oh, she said it wasn't recorded.
Oh my goodness!
Oh man.
Well, I guess we'll just sit in a little huddle and she can reteach it to us.
Yeah, she can. She can do it here on a Wednesday.
So, she. All right. So, anyways, we're gonna take a break here. We'll come back here and we're gonna interview Greg Carwile with more Bible discussion and questions here on Mornings of Box 2 Radio on the Box 2 Radio Network. We are back here on Mornings with Box 2 Radio. What a day the Lord has made. What a glorious day. What a glorious day. Jesus is doing great things in the midst of his people. And I'm, for one, just excited to be along for the ride. Amen. Sometimes I'm just along for the ride and say, Jesus, I'm following you. I'm just following you wherever you go. I preach Sunday morning. I said so often, most time with us, we are in the lead and expect God just to drag behind us. God, I want to go over here and you're going to follow me there. And I'm going to go over there and you're going to follow me there. Instead of reversing those, saying, where you go, I go. What you say, I say. Remember that song? It was kind of popular for a little while. Where you go, I go. What you say, I say, God. I've been practicing I practiced last night for the main choir. I was getting geared up for that. And it's going to go pretty well. I try to harmonize. I learned what the word harmony was. And
you and Jason should sing together.
Well, that's the plan.
Okay, speaking of Jason, when you're talking about Jesus taking the lead, I just have to bring this up. He made a statement that Jesus take the wheel is not biblical. Now, I can't say anything about the artist being biblical, but Jesus taking the wheel, I can't see how that's not biblical.
I'd have to ask him.
He ain't here.
We'll add that question Monday.
Yeah, I'm anxious to hear what he says about that.
How is?
I'm sure he's not just going to say something that, you know what I mean, just off the cuff. I'd say he's got some kind of
Up his sleeve.
Yeah, I don't know what it is either. I'm with you.
If you just look at the situation of you're driving and Jesus taking the wheel, I would much rather him be behind the steering wheel than me.
Yeah,
so.
Yep. Yeah, in a bad situation.
I want Jesus to be the only one at the wheel too. I don't want to have my hand. I don't want to be a passenger driver. Yeah,
nope.
I don't want to be a backseat.
But
I'm sure
he's got something. Yeah,
he's usually pretty good about that. So. Yeah. We'll see what he says. We'll give him an opportunity to defend himself before we call him a false teacher on Monday morning. All right. It's good. Who was it? I was listening to somebody talking about false teachers the other day, and they made a really good statement on false teachers because we're quick to call people false teachers because they misinterpret a text or say something like this. Mm-hmm. But it actually may have even been Brother Ron during the Salt Covenant Hour. But the statement was, a false teacher is when they're purposefully leading you astray, not when they accidentally misuse a text. And this has nothing to do with Jason. This is just...
I'm sorry, Jason. This is not a knock.
Sorry to get you affiliated with this, Jason, but we're just blaming on Aaron.
It's my fault. It's okay. But I think that is important. I think it's a good distinction because, we've all heard preachers who's preaching. Yeah. And they've misused a text or they misapplied a text. And we've probably done it ourselves. I know I have, and I've come back and repented.
Well, now here's the thing, too. So it talks about the blind leading the blind. So if you take a guy that is teaching in a way that's, his doctrine, and he believes that, that's honest but it's still false. And a false teaching is false teaching. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? And it's not saying, it's not, the intent of his heart may not be bad, but it's still the blind leading the blind.
Sure.
And that's still, you know, that's what we got to guard. That's why we should study to show ourselves approved.
Mm-hmm.
That way, when we hear these things, you know, a lot of people, I'm not going to say a lot of people. I'm going to talk about Greg Carwell, because that's the one guy that I know. And, you know, whenever I teach a Bible study, I used to teach the way I saw it or whatever. You know, I teach my, but the Lord has shown me that I could be wrong. So I don't teach my point of view anymore. Before I even teach a lesson, I don't even give what my point of view is, but I lay the scripture out. And I, you know, whatever, like eschatology, that's my thing, you know. Mm-hmm. So I don't even, like, if we, you know what my point of view is, because I was in that place when me and you was talking about it. I wish we had never had that conversation so that we could go by and I could just lay my scripture out and let the word speak for itself.
Well, we could do it again and do it that way.
Oh, well, yeah, that, but it's, you know, cat's out of the bag. You already know what I think, so there's that, so.
No, I like, though, how you said, you know, it's still the blind leading the blind. Mm-hmm. But I do think if someone messes up, that the Lord can, yeah, you know, reveal the truth. And I think it's, you can be a teacher who has a false teaching. But if you're a false teacher, then you constantly do false teaching.
Oh, you're purposefully, yeah, doing,
yeah,
it.
Purposely.
Like, it's, yeah, more, yeah, than a one time. It's like a, yeah, repetitive thing.
And my thing is, which one's worse? Mm-hmm. You're either, which way, you're not getting the truth. So we should study ourselves, you know, study, yeah, to, yeah, show, yeah, ourselves approved. You see what I'm saying? That's my point, was to, regardless of who's teaching what, good or bad, whether they're doing it purposefully or that's a hard one. Or they think they're doing right.
Sure.
You see,
yeah,
what I'm saying?
Sure.
We should have it in ourselves and have it. We should be able, whatever we stand on, we should stand on the scripture.
Yeah. And I think that's, it is important, saying, too, if you have any, like, if you're influencing people.
Yeah.
Whether you're doing Sunday school class or teaching a Bible study or men's, mm-hmm, prayer breakfast or coffee with Jesus or preaching a sermon on Sunday morning. If you do say something that's wrong, I do think it's important to come back and fix it.
Yeah, straighten, mm-hmm, it out. Yeah, and, hey, whoa, I messed,
yeah,
up.
Yeah, and I've done that a couple of times. Yeah, like,
me,
it's,
too.
It's not even that I, like, so, now, I went through a huge theological shift in my life, so I had a lot of repenting to do to people. I mean, early in my ministry, I said some things that just weren't right because I didn't have the revelation of Scripture yet.
Yeah.
And the Lord had
Saul
to feel
Tarsus was like,
yeah,
that, too.
And so I actually contacted several pastors I preached for and said, I need to now, some of them didn't understand because they believed like what I used to believe. And so it got a little muddy, yeah, at times, but a lot of times too, it's, even if you misapply something on accident or you're, like one time I gave this story just a couple of days ago, I said Paul when I should have said Peter,
mm-hmm,
and I had like four people come to me after service said it was Peter who did it.
Yeah.
And so the next week I just go, hey, look, everybody, I just want you to know, I know it was Peter, not Paul. And everybody needs to know it was Peter, not Paul.
Yeah.
And people say, well, that's nitpicking. Well, not always. I mean, like, that may not have been a big deal. Like, who was Peter, Paul? It's just a tongue-tied thing.
Yeah.
But if it's something, theology in you studied is a lot about distinctions. It's a lot of distinctions.
And I just want to add to this is, you know, study yourself and get somewhere, you know, if you want to, have someone teach you the word, you know, well, let the follow them through the word, mm-hmm, but let the word teach you and let the spirit, you know, whenever you're reading, ask the spirit to guide you, and people will show you, like, I'll just use it, addresses on where to go to read about this or that, you know, because all of my studies, there's one that I listen to a lot, but I don't agree with his beliefs of what the scripture says, but what it means. I don't agree with what he believes it means, but his teaching taught me how to navigate through scriptures. And that's where, you know, if you can get from point A to point B, the spirit can show you the meaning of the words.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Good stuff. And this is why studying the scripture appropriately and correctly is key. You know, like what we do here when we answer Bible questions, sometimes we have to get deep because of the question or something to that regard. But sometimes we are, our main thing is, you know, conversation and moving back and forth and talking and trying to get to the point. But usually when I'm really studying, you're moving through a lot of scripture. You're really diving. You're dissecting. You're
not, if you're only in one book, you're probably not going to get the full answer.
Yes. It's safe to say this. If you're studying a text and you only use that text to study the text, you're going to come probably to not a wrong answer always, but a incomplete answer.
Yeah.
And that's what happens, for example, whenever the one scripture, God is love. People just use God is love. They don't use any other scripture to reconcile and unpack what God is love is. Mm-hmm. We just use God is love.
Yeah.
And so I think it's what we use as in college, you know, we're talking about polemical study and we're talking about dissecting here a little, there a little. We start out with one text, it's a circle, and then we go a bigger text, bigger circle, which is the chapter it's found in. And then a bigger circle is the book, and then we keep going a bigger circle to the New Testament, bigger circle to the whole scripture at that point.
And, just disclaimer to all the listeners out there, I have a high school education. That's it.
Yep, that's all I've got.
I haven't been to any colleges, but I have never attended any.
I went for a year and a half. I don't have no degree, and I didn't, honestly, I think my little circle graph that I learned from studying is about the only thing I learned. And I mean, we had like, I don't know. I don't want to get onto another there, but well, I went home and studied myself.
I just misspoke myself. I never wired a college. It's technical schools. That's what I wired. So,
well, let's see here. Miss Renee did get to a place where she could get the right answer. She was able to do that. So,
good deal.
Without getting in trouble, hopefully. All right. Anyways, and that answer, finally, I get to give the answer. It's a white stone. It's a white stone. Revelation chapter 2, verse 17.
A white stone.
And that white stone. We're going to read it. So everybody is well aware of the whole context.
Plumb Bob.
I love this. I mean, that's a tough question.
Miss Mary says, God doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the called.
That's a good thing with me, because I was not qualified for nothing. Let's see here. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give him to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone. So hidden manna would have worked too, but nobody got that either. It was always tree of life. And will give him a white stone, in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth save he that receiveth it. So we're going to receive a stone that has a name written on it that no man knoweth unless he receiveth the stone.
And it talks about that stone in the Old Testament. Mm-hmm. But
that's cool.
That's another study for another day.
Another study for another day, he says. We got to get to this interview process. What are we interviewing on?
We could discontinue.
You don't want to interview?
We could do that. I'm just saying, kidding. We could continue.
I mean, we've been interviewing along the way, I think. Yeah. We've heard some testimony.
I'm here. Go ahead.
You're good. No, I'm just picking on you.
Yeah.
We're going to continue forth and just talking a little bit more about scripture, talking more about the Bible. I do love the conversation of prayer, and I do love the conversation of idols. And I think I'm glad we kind of had those for a little bit today, because I think it's important. For one, we need to tear down the Asherah poles in our life. Whatever that idols are, we got to tear them down.
Well, then I guess then, because we kind of touched on it, one idol that I had in my life, and I didn't realize it until the Lord showed me. We've got 12 minutes. Mm-hmm. I'll see if it's all right.
Sure.
So I used to carry a firearm, mm-hmm. and I got a couple, and I depended on, all of my trust and my faith and protecting my family was in that firearm and my ability to use it. Mm-hmm. So it consumed my time, working on it, and and you know, watching videos and training videos and just practicing, you know, how to properly use it, you know. And so my mindset when I was in church, no matter where I was always calculating, you know, where I sat versus where my family sat, you know, which side of the aisle I need to be on, you know, for where my gun was. And don't, just for anybody out there, I'm not saying anything about carrying a firearm. If you carry a firearm, great, let it rip. Just, you know, be good with it.
Let it rip in the proper perspective.
Yeah, just make sure. I'm just saying.
Don't just let her fly anywhere.
Yeah, I'm just saying, you know, if that's your thing, that's not what I'm speaking against here.
Yeah.
What I'm speaking against is my mindset and where it was. My faith was in that.
That was your firearm. Protection. It wasn't the Lord.
It wasn't the Lord. It was me and that firearm and my ability to and my thought process. So, like, we go in places. Restaurants, whatever, you know, I was always calculating, you know, exits, strategies, what I was going to do if something happened, you know, what my first move was going to be, what I could do for my family to get them out of harm's way. Just constantly just calculating. Everywhere I went, that's the way my mind was. And the Lord started dealing with me about it. And I remember I was going to church one day and I went to put it on. He said, "Won't you leave that there?" And that's the first time. That's the first thing he said to me. And I was like, "Oh no, I can't do it." So I put it on. And I went. Well, you know, little by little, he started asking me to leave it. Well, I had a dream, and this is a very vivid dream. And so in this dream, I was looking around, and everybody that I could see was laying there. They were bound hand and foot, and they were laying on their bellies, and they was neck, and they had whips in their hands, and they was whipping themselves in the back. And I'm looking around, and I'm like trying to untie them, trying to free them. I'm like, "Hey, quit doing this. And they was looking at me as if I was crazy. Like, "What do you mean? You know, they're sitting there whipping themselves." And I'm trying to get them to free them, and they're like telling me to stop, like they're having a time of their life here. And I'm looking, I'm like, "What do you? You're bound and you're whipping. You just stop doing that." And they're like, you know, they wouldn't allow me to help them. Well, then this guy run by me, and this is funny. He looked like Willie Robinson. He had the bandana, long hair, but he had his ARs with him, had his guns, and. His guy that was following him, it was like an army, and these are supposed to be the good guys, you know. They would run by, and I remember he laid his rifle down, and I remember grabbing the rifle, and I looked at the American flag is kind of painted on the side, it's all tattered, if you can imagine, all scuffed up on the magazine. I remember pulling the magazine out, checking that it had shells in it, and jammed it back in there, and I racked it, and I shot two to make sure it was good to go, and I followed this guy. So this is a dream. I'm just saying this is a dream that I had, guys. It just didn't really happen. So so I was following this guy, and we go into this big apartment building. And we go in a basement, and these little people was just kind of, I don't know, doing just weird stuff down there, and I was covering the guy. You know, I was telling him to get back, you know, as he's walking through there. And he said, "Grab that pistol laying on the ground there." So I remember taking a piece of rag or whatever, and I grabbed that pistol, and I just picked it up or whatever. And we come out the other side. And I don't know what the importance of that is, but when we come out of the other side of the basement, all outside had changed. It was just a big war zone. All the buildings was just tore down and just battered. The weeds were tall. You know, I remember it was almost like waist high when we come out. And everybody that had the gun, it was on his side. For every one of those, there was a motorcycle police officer, the way black leather suit with a white helmet, and they had billy clubs. And for every one of those guys that had the gun, two of those guys with a billy club was just beating them. And, I mean, everywhere you look, they were all going down one by one. two guys on one everywhere. But I was not affected by it. I looked and I watched all this stuff. I remember, and I'm going to leave one detail out just because, you know, it was just very gory. But I just remember I sat down in the bush here, and I was just waiting just for all this to lay low, because I would see them run, and they would run, and they would just run into two everywhere they would go. Well, I remember I looked, and there was a baby doll laying there, and it just fell, and I looked at it, and some of the stuff had, I'm just going to call it stuff, had just fallen on its open eyes, and I woke up. And that's a very vivid dream. And I left out that the gory part of it, and that's probably a good, but anyway, which way, I woke up and the Lord explained to me. He said, those people that you see that were naked and were whipping themselves were bound by their own lusts and their own conceits and the things of this world, that they was, it was killing them, but they was enjoying it. And you couldn't reach them because they're bound by their own desires. He said, he, and then the guy with the gun, he who lives by the sword will die by the sword. And that's what he showed me on those guys. For every one of those that had a rifle, two men were there to beat them down without a rifle. So I say, like, oh, okay, Lord. Well, so that sustained me for a while. I could go without carrying a gun for a while. And we had conversation back, you know, with my fellow guys there at church and all. And I went for a while. Well, then one Sunday morning I got up, I was like, all right, I'm going to wear it. Or as a Wednesday night thing. I remember showing up and I told the guys, because they knew I was struggling with it. I was dealing with it. I spoke to them. And I said, hey, I've got it on today. Well, everything was fine. I woke up that next morning, and the Lord told me, he said, listen, you can take that gun and defend yourself, or you can let me defend you, but we're not discussing it anymore. Well, I was like, well, why didn't you just tell me that to start with, Lord? You know, but after all that, you know, this was a couple of months, you know. After all that, I realized that I'm never going to need that, you know, and I may carry it now just because whatever, but it's, the mindset's gone. He delivered me from all of that, and I don't carry it. And, again, it was an idol for me. Mm-hmm. And I hope that made some sense to anybody.
Because really what you're pushing there is the mindset's what got you. That's, you were utterly dependent upon that one thing to protect you.
And the Lord delivered me from that and made me realize that he is my protector. Because he said, you can defend yourself or you can let me defend you. But we're not discussing it anymore.
Yeah.
So I chose him. I chose him.
Because, I think some people could relate to that.
Yeah. Because, I mean, you said it earlier, it's – guns are not a bad thing.
No, not at all. I love them. They're fun. They're great.
It's just if you put a good thing in the wrong place, it becomes bondage.
Yeah.
And it becomes improper, in wrong order. And it's like we said, that could be like anything. I mean, honestly, you know, we make fun of about it, but food is definitely one of them. Like, you know, we're guilty of food, we're guilty of people, we're guilty of anything that puts itself in the place of the Father. And we've got to make sure our hearts are clear and our hearts are mine, because what you were explaining was your whole protection was literally centered around being able to use that and being able to carry it.
Yep, that's correct.
And that's when it becomes an idol, because you weren't looking to the Father whatsoever. Nope. You were just looking at that. And you were preparing yourself. And you know, that's one of the things that I have with doomsday prepping, is that we believe that we're going to save ourselves in the midst of an apocalyptic type event. Well, if it's really the apocalyptic type event, and it's the Lord doing it, I don't care how many bottle waters you have. I don't care how much barbed wire you got around your house. I don't care if you have motion sensors. At the end of the day, it's going to do nothing, because God's word will prevail and God's word will go through, and the world will go through whatever it needs to. And he is our savior, not how much food we have in a garage stored up. And, I mean, there's nothing wrong about planning. There's nothing wrong about prepping.
Yeah, I would say that, you know, I wouldn't want to steer anybody from their way. You know, the only thing is, if your way is instead of his, you know, if you're putting something instead of him that your faith is in, that whatever that is going to let you down. Yeah.
Now, if the Lord's instructing you to save, like he instructed Joseph to save.
Yeah.
Like he instructed Joseph to save.
Yeah, I'm saying that.
But if you're just doing it because you're wanting to be, like you think that's going to be your saving grace.
Yeah.
We just want you, we're not condemning. We're asking you to walk with caution.
Yeah, just be with the, you know.
Seek the Lord, pray and ask for the Lord to reveal.
Yeah.
And also prep if you want to. You know, prep for all of it. But again, put your trust in Jesus.
Yeah. 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 And idols are a hard thing to talk about because when you talk about idols, you have to start talking about things that are good inherently.
Yeah.
And people think we're asking them to throw
away those.
And
there is nothing
wrong
with somebody being prepared.
Nothing wrong.
Mean, that's perfectly great.
What we're trying to say is when it gets into the place of the Father and you put it before the Father. That's when it becomes idolatrous. It's not that you prep. It's not that you carry a gun. It's not that you have a spouse. It's not that you kids play sports. It's all of that is okay if it's done in the proper order, proper way, and proper perspective. But the moment you look for something to stand in the place of the Father in your life, now you have an idol.
Yeah.
Cell phones are not an idol within themselves, but they can become an idol.
Yeah.
Televisions. Everything but radio, everything except Box 2 radio. No, I'm just kidding.
I don't know. Miss Mary said this radio was getting pretty addicting. So.
But it is. Yeah. You know, it is. I mean, and again, I love how Brother Greg, we have to go, but it's not condemnation. It's invitation.
Yep.
And it's the invitation to put the Father in his proper place. And if he goes in his proper place, we go in ours. Amen. Love you guys. We're out of here. We're overtime. Get to make Brother Ernie on here to preach a while. We'll be back tomorrow, 7 a.m. Central Time here on the Box 2 Radio Network.
The Box 2 Radio Network.